Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman, in with for the next 3 hours. You can find us 312-981-7200 is the phone number, WGNradio.com. Well, it's the summer music festival season in Chicago. This week, the Blues Festival. Later on, you got Pitchfork, Lollapalooza, Jazz Fest, and every street festival imaginable. Now, if you're like me, the summer music festival may not be your thing. Suggested donations, shoulder-to-shoulder crowds as you search for a curb to sit on, as you try to devour your overpriced food and drink, all the while avoiding the smell from the garbage can that's right next to you. But usually, when the bands hit the stage, all is forgotten. So tonight, we lose the sweaty crowds, the $15 beers, and the long lines at the porta-potties, and bring you what really matters, the live music. Tonight, it's our first ever Extension 720 Chicago Music Showcase, our own music festival in our performance studio, high atop the mouth of the Chicago River, right here on WGN Radio. We've selected a few bands to showcase tonight, going out of our way to feature an eclectic lineup that features soul, country, bluegrass, rock, and of course, the bagpipes. So let's get to it. First up tonight, let's start with Chicago's music, the blues. Our first guest tonight is on stage at the Blues Festival this weekend. Here's 83-year-old legend Mary Lane and the No Static Blues Band with their song, I Don't Want No Man Telling Me What to Do, Extension 720.
I don't want no man telling me what to do. I don't want no man, no, telling me what to do. Well, I'm grown now, baby, just as grown as you. I don't want no man telling me how to live my life. I don't want no man, no, telling me how to live my life. Well, I'm grown now, baby, you better think about it twice. Well, you boss your women, better won't deny. Before I let you boss me, I lay down and die. I don't want no man telling me what to do. Well, I'm grown now, baby, just as grown as you. Well, you drink your whiskey and I drink my wine. You tend to your business and I'll tend to mine. I don't want no man telling me what to do. Well, I'm grown now, baby, just as grown as you. You got it. man telling me how to live my life. I don't want no man, no, telling me how to live my life. Well, I'm grown now, baby. You better think about it twice.
Yeah, there you go. How about that to start the evening off? That is Mary Lane and the No Static Blues Band. The song, I Don't Want No Man Telling Me What to Do. That's off Traveling Woman, which is a new album, the first in 20 years. We're going to talk with Mary Lane coming up right after the break here and hear some more live music, as well as so much live music tonight from so many different genres. It is Extension 720's Chicago Music Showcase here on 720 WGN. It is Extension 720 Chicago Music Showcase tonight. I am Justin Kaufman with you as we present you live music from our performance studio of all genres. We start tonight, of course, with the blues. As you heard right before the break, Mary Lane back in our performance studio for another track, and then we're going to sit down and talk with her about her legendary career. Here's Mary Lane and the No Static Blues Band. This song coming up here is called Some People Think I'm Crazy.
Lying in my bedroom, just watching your picture frame. Bedroom, just watching your picture frame. Well, since you left me, baby, you know things ain't been the same. I'ma roll down my window, I'ma call you on the phone. I'm gonna roll down my window, I'ma call you on the phone. I'm gonna let you know I miss you, and I hate to be alone. I'm gonna keep on trying, trying by myself. I'm gonna keep on trying, trying by myself. Yes, I love you and I need you, and I don't want nobody else.
Same.
give it up, Mary Lane. How about that? And the No Static Blues Band. That song, of course, is called Some People Think I'm Crazy. Mary Lane is a Chicago blues legend. She may not be a household name, but many in music say that's short of a travesty. Mary Lane doesn't follow in anyone's footsteps. She's been a major part of the West Side blues scene for decades, coming here in 1957. Mary played alongside all the greats and is a member of the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame. At the age of 83, just about to turn 84, Mary's not retiring. Instead, she just put out a brand new album called Traveling Woman. It's her first in 20 years, and it's remarkable. This, along with a new documentary called I Can Only Be Mary Lane. Mary Lane's the talk of the town. She's playing Blues Festival this weekend with the No Static Blues Band, and she's my guest tonight on Extension 720. Mary, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
To listen to the music and just to be the Blues Festival weekend in Chicago. This is the music of Chicago. This is the soundtrack. Don't you think, the blues?
Right, right. Yeah. Forever.
Why do you sing the blues?
I love the blues. I was brought up on the blues, and life is the blues.
What makes the Chicago style of blues so unique?
Well, for number one, Chicago sound, all the older guys, they done passed on and everything. The young guys, they coming up. They can play the blues, but that feel ain't there. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm used to all the Howlin' Wolf and Robert Nighthawk and Junior Wells and all of those guys, the blues that I felt when I was coming up and everything. But all the young guys, they're great. They sound great, but it's just a feel that you got to have for the blues.
You got to have it.
You got to have it. And most of the young kids that's out here playing today, they play the blues, they sing the blues, but they don't feel the blues, because blues is something you're singing about that done happened in your life, something you done did or something somebody done did to you. The young kids, they can't feel that.
Right.
So you got to feel it.
When did you feel it? When do you remember the moment when you felt the blues?
When I was about 12 years old. In the cotton field.
What did you think that was? What was the feeling at 12 years old?
It was a good feeling, because all the people around me, they loved the blues. My mother and father, they loved the blues and everything. And we'd be in the field picking cotton and everything. And I'd be the only somebody in the field singing and everything. So keep on singing. Keep on singing. When I stopped singing, then they stopped picking. I say, well, I'm not going to sing myself to death. I say, girl, you got to sing, because you got a feel to it. And from then on, I just start singing and singing. And I just didn't let it go. And then after I left out the field singing and everything, I joined the church, and I started singing gospel.
When you came to Chicago, you had already had a career in the blues, or at least a young career in the blues. But when you got here, how did you find yourself getting involved with all the blues musicians here? What was it that you felt that you could hang with all the members, all the people you just mentioned?
Because the guys that I work with, which is Howlin' Wolf, he worked down in a place where called Brinkley, Arkansas, at my uncle's nightclub. He worked down there. That's where I met him at. And when I got up here, he was up here in Chicago, and it wasn't no problem for me, you know, getting with him, singing the blues and everything. And then when I got through singing with him and everything, then I ran across Junior Wells. I worked with Junior Wells at Teresa's for 3 years and sung the blues. And before I left from down in Arkansas, I met this guy called Robert Nighthawk, played slide and everything. I sung with him and everything. And then I just started feeling the blues, and I've been out here forever, but I haven't gotten a big break yet, but I still ain't gonna give up.
Well, you're coming up on the age 84. Why do you think it is that you didn't get the big break? Because everybody knows you in Chicago, and everybody knows you to be such a strong presence in Chicago blues. Why is it, in your thought, that you're not at the same level as the Coco Taylors and the others who have been the queens of blues?
But you'd be surprised. It's a lot out here that you got to deal with to reach that stage. And I'm just myself. I'm Mary Lane. I mean, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. If I'm supposed to sing the blues, I'm going to sing the blues. Anything different, it ain't me. So that's where it been with mm-hmm. me, you know, ever since I've been here. You got to do this, and you got to, no, I ain't got to do it, I'm going to sing the blues. And if that's not satisfaction, hey, I'm going on about my business.
This new album, it's been 20 years since your last. How's it feel to be back in studio? How's it feel to be promoting a record 20 years after the last?
It feel good. You know, it feel great to be out here doing that. But like I say, like I told them, hey, don't wait until, hey, it's too late. But they say it ain't never too late. But like I say, you know, it's just a feel that you got to have out here doing this, the blues and everything. When you're out here, you got to feel that.
The whole show that I'm doing tonight mm-hmm. is about Chicago music and about how you can see all sorts of different music in different places and all the street festivals and other places.
Right.
But I always find all of the music coming back to the blues. Why is that?
Because everybody, mostly that's up here, all but the young people, they was brought up on the blues. And blues is their life. You know, things they done did, things they want to do, and thing they trying to do, and they make a song out of it, and they call it the blues.
Mary, it's a pleasure to meet you. It's a pleasure to have you here in studio. We're listening to your music tonight, Extension 720. You can check out Mary's performance. She's going to be at the Bottom Lounge on Thursday. She's also going to be at the Blues Festival coming up this weekend, and also the documentary premieres next week, and at a couple different places. Mary, a pleasure. Thanks for being my guest.
Thank you so kindly for having me.
Static Blues Band. They're going to be at the Chicago Blues Festival this weekend. You can find more of their performance at WGNRadio.com. So we're putting all the performances and interviews up there from tonight. Coming up, bluegrass with Latin flavor, Latin grass. Extension 720. Stay with us. Well, my next guests are in the performance studio ready to play. Che Apalache is an award-winning bluegrass band, a bluegrass band from Argentina. The frontman Joe Troop originally hails from North Carolina, but moved to Buenos Aires 10 years ago. While living in South America, Troop taught bluegrass and banjo to local musicians and introduced an iconic American sound to a Latin American culture. The result? One of the most talked about fusion fiddle bands on the circuit today. The band is on a massive North American tour with dates stretching through the end of the year. They just played at the Old Town School of Folk Music, and the new album is going to be out in August. In studio with us, Joe Troop, Pau, Franco, Martin, Che Apalache.
Thank you.
That's live music from in studio. Che Apalachi, like I said, Joe Troop, Pau, Franco, and Martine are all here in studio. Thank you so much for being here and playing live. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Justin.
You're on a tour right now, and why don't we start with this? This is Latin grass. What does Latin grass mean?
Well, Latin grass is basically our underlying concept, the fusion of Latin American folk music and Appalachian string band music.
And when you say Appalachian string band music, was that something that audiences in Argentina and other countries in South America were familiar with?
Not really. I mean, to a limited extent through, I guess, cartoons and television programs, but they hadn't really come into contact with it directly. There's not an extensive history of bluegrass bands down in Latin America. There have been a couple anomaly bands, but nothing is as serious as we ended up being in the long run.
What is usually, when you talk about the folk instruments that are involved, the mandolin, the fiddle, the banjo, are those instruments playing different types of music in Latin music, Latin culture?
In the case of Argentina, the mandolin isn't hardly played at all, neither is the banjo. The guitar is very prevalent in Argentinian folk music, but it's nylon strung guitar. So these steel string instruments are pretty much complete anomaly down there, except for, of course, the violin, but the playing style, the fiddle, has nothing to do with either tango or chacarera or other styles that are played on
and
the violin.
That's what the Americans may think of music that might be indigenous to Buenos Aires or Argentina. Yeah. Would be tango. That would be the kind of music we would think would be coming out.
For sure. Tango is, I mean, it's the folk music of Buenos Aires and Montevideo. And, you know, it's an urban form of music. But there's also more rural forms of tango, and then there's tons of musical genres in Argentina because it's such a large country. You know, you've got everything from chamamé to chacarera, samba. There's a lot of vibrant musical traditions that are lesser known throughout the world, so we're kind of pulling from all of that stuff.
Well, I want to bring the guys in too. For you guys, what was your experience before you met Joe and before you started playing in the band? What was your experience with the banjo, with the fiddle, the mandolin?
Mostly YouTube, wandering in YouTube and learning from there until we met Joe and we got first-hand experience and knowledge.
It seems like it'd be a tough instrument to figure out.
It is. It is a very tough instrument to figure out. I'm Pau. I'm the guy that plays the banjo in this band. I fell in love with the banjo listening to Bella Flex music, but I already knew the banjo from before because it's an instrument that's been very portrayed in movies and series and cartoons mostly. So pretty much everybody, most young generations knows the banjo, but maybe they don't know it for real, but they have seen it and they know the name.
No one knows it. There's a 5-string banjo and a 4-string, and
nobody knows those kind of stuff.
Like, oh, banjo, it's just banjo. The wrong guitar.
I don't think Americans know that either. But you know, there's something about this being such an American music that when you talk about the way the banjo and folk and bluegrass, is it an accepted form of music? Do the South American cultures, do they say, oh, we love this kind of stuff? Or is it more like, well, you know what, keep your American stuff out of here?
Yeah, there's a lot of that because there's a very dark history between the United States and Latin America. I mean, most recently the CIA instigated a reign of terror between 1976 and 1983. So that's the dictatorship was backed by the United States, and Argentinians are well aware of that. So there's definitely some reticence towards
accepting American
culture
in any form.
Right? And that's... That made it a little bit tough on me too to get acceptance in the local music scene because I'm like, hey man, I'm not all about that at all. But these forms of music are beautiful nonetheless, and so we're trying to like rid the stereotype, I guess, unchain the music from the oppressive stereotype it kind of conjures up.
When you started teaching banjo and started teaching some of these stringed instruments, what was the original? How did people accept it? Did they like that you were doing it? Did the students really grab onto it?
Yeah, some of them more than others. I taught mostly beginner banjo students who would come for, you know, maybe two classes, a couple of them for a few months. These guys are really the only ones that stuck around for years. And I have a couple other students who stayed on board and then became friends and then, you know, eventually we're all becoming colleagues, you know what I mean? Because most of the interest was just hobbyist. There's not many people that have a huge, unwavering passion for the 5-string banjo or the mandolin or these playing styles. I mean, it is a complete anomaly. It's akin to someone from Chicago falling in love with chacarera and playing at Bombo Leguero. And yeah, I mean, these guys are definitely odd birds.
We're weirdos.
Let's get the weirdos involved here. When playing this music, what from your background, as you bring from being in South America, what do you bring to the music? When you talk about the Latin rhythm and the Latin sounds that we may be familiar with here in Chicago and in the United States, how do you fuse those together? How do they go with the music of the Appalachian experience and the banjo?
In my case, I listen to a lot of types of music because I was born in Buenos Aires, and it's a big city. Not only music from Argentina, music from different parts of the world, like Brazil, Europe. So I bring all that stuff to the band, I think.
Pretty much Martin and I have the most difficult part, I believe, on that, because a lot of the genres that we try to emulate or we try to play with these instruments have, for example, a guitar. There's a guitar in them. So Franco has like examples of what he could be doing, or there's a backstory of that kind of music. Right. Joe also has it, right, with chamamé or with chacarera. It's not called fiddle, but there's violin.
Right, right.
But then when you have to play a chacarera or a samba or a chamamé, and I have to add the banjo to it, I have no...
There's no experience.
There's no experience. Yeah, right. I'm. It's like a just a, how would you say, an ojo en blanco.
A
blank slate. But I try to approach the instrument as a musician and not as a banjoist. Mm. So I try to figure out whatever can be done. It's not like, okay, let's do a lick and let's roll. I try to see, okay, what can I do that adds to the music, and I go for that.
When you talk about the Latin rhythm, or really bass line, if you will, of Latin music, how does that, from your vantage point, growing up in North Carolina, knowing Appalachian folk music and bluegrass, how do they intersect? Are there moments where you're like, I know exactly how these two...
Very rarely. There's a lot of things that are completely contrary. I mean, you can't just fuse bluegrass and chacarera, but in... one of the compositions on our first album, Prisionero, it actually happened somehow. But it happened through an extensive having lived both things as a group and as people, and then somehow it came across not as cheesy. The danger is creating fluff, just creating some sort of...
I would like to add, in that particular song, it happened really organically. Like, we were making an arrangement of the song, and it kind of... By the end of the song, it happens that I start doing a roll and Martin enters with a chop that's kind of bluegrassy. But the rhythm, it's...
The underpinning's still chacarera.
It's a polyrhythm that's a chacarera. It's kind of...
They're very incongruous, actually, at first glance. And to fuse them was sometimes it requires a very patient process.
Che Apaleche is the band that is in studio tonight. It's Joe Troop, Pau Andres Barja Mateu. Close?
Barjau.
Barjau. I gotta get that. That's what I'm missing, the tongue roll, but that sounds great. Franco Martino and Martin Bobrick.
Yes.
Got it. And Joe Troop. They are Che Apaleche. They are on a tour of the country right now. What are we going to hear right now?
Well, we're going to play, actually, a bluegrass song. This is one that I wrote while reflecting upon those that take advantage of religious fundamentalism in order to bolster support for their political campaigns, and it's called The Rock of Ages.
The Rock of Ages, Che Apaleche.
Thank you.
Yeah! There you go. Che Apalache in studio, the Argentinian bluegrass band playing Latin grass. Try to get one more song in before the news. We'll take a quick break here and we'll come back. Extension 720 on 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. My name's Joe Troop, and I'm here with Che Apalache. And we're going to do one right now called The Wall.
Come, friends, come, friends, come gather round for to sing, sing we joyfully.
And sing about a better world.
Where different paths have been unfurled. Of a land where freedom rings. From way up high on the mountainside, one can see the wide world over.
From way up there, he's plain to see.
Regardless of one's race or creed, in our hearts we're all the same. Come, sisters, brothers, gather near, for we've come to share our worry.
We fear what some folks have been saying
about Latin Americans, the truth's been misconstrued. There's all kinds of talk about building a wall down along the southern border.
Between me and you.
Lord, and if such nonsense should come true, then we'll have to knock it down. Cause that idea won't fly so high as a wingless bird in a rock-hard sky. So no, sorry, we won't comply. We're going to stand our ground. To love thy neighbor as thyself is a righteous law to live by. They break us up so they stay strong, and ignorantly we're strung along until we meet our doom. Yes, our leaders are so ripe with sin, they feed us a chance to rope us in. But someday soon we'll find, my friends, that we're pinned against the wall. Come, friends, come, friends, come gather round, for to sing, oh, sing we joyfully.
Let us sing about a better world,
where better paths will soon unfurl. No man's blood shall stain the soul of a land where freedom rings.
Wow. Che Apalache in studio. That's Joe Troop, Pau, Franco, and Martin, the Argentinian bluegrass band. Latin grass band can be found online and everywhere. They've already come through Chicago playing at the Old Town School of Folk Music. Much more to come, including the Badpipes. Extension 720's Chicago Music Showcase continues.
This is Extension 720 on WGN Radio. Here's Justin Kaufman.
Thanks, Jen.
trying to add a little bit of fun there.
I like it. I like it a lot. It's a lot of fun tonight. This is fun to showcase all the different music in Chicago and from around the country and around the world, we just heard, and that's going to continue in this segment. Coming up a little bit later, state champion's going to be here, Chicago band via Louisville. That is really an Americana alt-country band, but their record was one of the top records on Pitchfork. Pitchfork said best of 2018, so we'll have them in studio a little bit later, as well as Chicago Soul Spectacular. This week was the birth date of Curtis Mayfield. So we'll talk about soul music in Chicago and get a big band up in here who will be playing. They're also playing this Saturday at Lincoln Hall, so we'll have them in studio, as well as the dream pop sounds of Fovley. So we have a lot to do, so we're going to get to it as we continue our, I guess it would be our indoor street festival, or it's kind of like we're looking at it here, a music festival for the radio the way it was intended. Well, coming up next weekend, the Chicago Scots are putting on the 33rd annual Scottish Festival and Highland Games in Itasca. It's a celebration of all things Scottish culture. It's a festival where you compete in log rolling or stone throwing, or eat the semi-delicious delicacy known as haggis, all the while wearing your kilt. And of course, you can hear the sounds of Scotland through one of the most unique and iconic instruments of all time, the bagpipe. At the Highland Games next week, you will be seeing the largest bagpiping championships in the United States of America. Here in studio tonight, representing the Midwest Pipe Band Association, are two men, Jimmy Sim is here, and piper Scott McCauley. Now, the bagpipe is an outside instrument, which I guess makes it perfect for our indoor street festival tonight. Here is Scott with the tune, The Road to the Isles. Take it away, Scott.
Thank you.
The bagpipes up. You gotta have those Scottish bagpipes if you're gonna have a music festival in Chicago on WGN Radio. That, of course, was Scott McCauley. Jimmy Simmons here as well to talk about the festival. Thank you so much. That song was called Road to the Isles. What is that song about?
The Road to the Isles is written by John McClellan, the early part of the last century. And the Road to the Isles is talking about the just going up to the islands in Scotland. And
it's a good self-explanatory, right?
That's right.
Well, it's fun. I think it's perfect, Jimmy, that we are sitting in our studio and a dense fog alert has rolled in, and you see some of the fog be whisked away by the bagpipes. But before
I
we get
blow that up.
Exactly, let's talk about the bagpipes, because you know this is you're gonna have the largest bagpiping championships in the U.S. coming up here in Itasca next weekend. What is the culture like around the bagpipe in the United States? Because we know it so well in Scotland. It's obviously such a huge part of not just that culture, but a lot of the North Atlantic culture. How much do you see the bagpipe in today's America?
Oh, my goodness. It has really, really grown. I've been playing for over 40 years, and it's just taken off. There's so many pipe bands in the United States, mostly at a relatively beginning level. We certainly haven't reached the pinnacle of expertise at the Scottish bands and some of the other, you know, Canadian, Australian bands, Irish bands have. But it's certainly popular.
Having said that, there's a lot of North American players now that play in Scottish bands for the summer. They fly over for the big championships in the summer. The winning bands in Scotland probably have 3 to 6 North American players in each band.
Is it an easy instrument to learn? You see kids learning this?
Is this the kind of stuff like
piano and guitar? Mm-hmm. I mean, can
That's
you learn
right. it? It's just like any other musical instrument. Each instrument that you play has its intricacies, and the bagpipe is no different. Part of the difficulty of the bagpipe is that it does require a good amount of air, and so younger players or smaller individuals have a little bit of a difficult time just producing the air that it takes to keep 4 reeds going, the bag inflated and the sound coming out.
And that's really what the instrument is.
Right.
As you mentioned, 4 reeds in the air. Is it a breathing training? Is that the idea of learning this instrument, is to learn how to control your breath?
It's not so much controlling your breath, but coordinating, inflating, and keeping the bag inflated. I refer to the bag as a third lung that's operated by your arm. So you got the 2 inside, and you've got this third external lung, and you're blowing and squeezing, then blowing and squeezing. So it's a coordination thing more than anything else.
Jimmy, how much of an undertaking is it to bring the championships to Itasca, to Chicago? You know, because there's a lot of different piping associations and pipe bands in the North American area, but how difficult is it to bring it here to the Midwest?
Very difficult. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've grown it probably 5-fold. To this point where there's different grades of pipe bands, grade 1 through grade 5, grade 1 being the best. There's only 3 grade 1 bands in all North America today. We don't have a grade 1 contest. We have a grade 2 through 5. And there's 8 grade 2 bands, which is the largest grade 2 contest in North America this year. Bands from Houston, New York City, Portland, Oregon, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Alberta, Houston, Texas. They're coming from all over. And they're big bands. There are 25 to 40 members in each band.
What is needed? What is, no pun intended, instrumental in a pipe band? What do you need? What are the ingredients for a pipe band? Just bagpipes?
No, and Jim would be the first one to. No, the fundamental aspect of bagpipes obviously carry the melody, but with a pipe band, you have an entire now percussion section was. In the past, snare drums, high-tension snare drums, and a bass drum, and now tuned tenor drums, which really establish more of an orchestral kind of sound for the pipe band in the modern era.
The modern top bands will play 14 to 20 bagpipers, and then 8 to 12 snare drummers, 4 to 7 tenor drummers, and then a bass drummer.
And so these competitions, this championship that we see at the Highland Games coming up here next weekend, what will we see?
You'll see the different levels. In the morning will be the grade 4 and 5 bands, the lower grade bands, less experienced bands that play less intricate music. And then in the afternoon, the grade 3 and then the grade 2 bands will play, they'll play twice. They'll play a marche de spé and reel, which is three types of music. A marche de spé is a dance tune and obviously a reel. And then they play a medley in a concert formation where they can play 4 to 6 minutes of the music of their choice.
Hmm.
And it's really entertaining. The crowds really get into it.
Well, that's coming up. That'll be next weekend, Saturday.
That's Saturday.
That'll
right.
be Saturday.
Saturday.
Jimmy Sim is here as well as Scott McCauley. We're talking about the Scottish Festival and Highland Games, which will be in Itasca next weekend. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear some more bagpipes as we continue here in the Chicago Music Showcase here on Extension 720. So stay with us. Extension 720 here, 720 WGN, and yes, it is the Chicago Music Showcase. We're doing a full show of live music here in our performance studio, and our studio is high atop the mouth of the Chicago River. In this segment, we are talking about the Scottish Festival and Highland Games in Itasca, and bringing you a bit of the bagpipe. The largest bagpiping championships in the United States will be at the Highland Games coming up next weekend. Representing the Midwest Pipe Band Association, two guys here tonight, Jim Sim and Piper Scott McCauley. And so, Jim, what are we going to hear? Let's hear some more from Scott, who's ready to go. What's his song?
This is called Bonnie Dundee. It's named after a city in Scotland, Dundee, Scotland, where one of my grandparents was from. It's a 6/8 time signature, two-parted tune. Bonnie Dundee.
Take it away. Little bagpipes for you. That's Scott McCauley. Also here, Jim Sim. We're talking Scottish bagpipes and the festival, the Highland Games in Itasca. You know, watching you do that, you're absolutely right, Scott. It's amazing to me the amount of focus and concentration you have to do just with your breath. I mean, you almost want to reach out because I feel like you're going to pass out. It looks like you're not breathing.
Well, I'm breathing most of the time. And then you get a quick breath, and that's when you do that arm exchange with the bag. So it's your focus. It's always about focus because you got all the music's memorized. So
yeah, absolutely. And we have the we put this on Facebook. We're put it on Facebook Live on the WGN Radio page. You can see Scott getting close to passing out. Not passing out. So Jim, we're putting so much emphasis on the bagpipes and the drums and the pipe bands, but there's a lot that happens at the Highland Games. I've been out there. It's great.
Yep.
Like I said, the log rolling or the stone throwing, all these strange...
There's no log rolling, but there's the heavy athletics, they call
That's
it.
That's what it is,
they throw a lot of people say it looks like a telephone pole. They throw toss the telephone pole. And,
sorry, my bad. Toss the telephone pole.
Right. And the stone throw and the hammer throw and the sheath toss, and that's the heavy athletics. That's a big part of it.
You know, this is all put on by Chicago Scots, and Chicago Scots has been one of the oldest, I think the oldest charity in the state of Illinois. But it's just tremendous to think about, beyond just what they do for elderly care and what they do there, just this idea of really sort of focusing on every single year Scottish culture. How important is Scottish culture to Chicago?
Well, it's very important. If you go back in the history, not only in Chicago, but in the United States, a lot of our founding fathers are referred to as Scots-Irish, which if you go back in your history, they left Scotland for persecution, went to Ireland, and wasn't any better there, and they left Ireland right away and came here. All the Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, John Adams, all the Scottish names if you go back in American history. And the music and culture has survived this 250 years, and it's a great part of Chicago now. And of course, Chicago having a large Irish population, mm-hmm. too. So the Scots-Irish population and culture in Chicago has always been a very important part in the city.
Scott, you feel the same way?
Absolutely. McCauley's are Scotch-Irish, and that's kind of my adopted ancestry is I feel more akin to that than any of the others, mostly because of the bagpipes. And having been traveled to Scotland with the pipe band over years, I just fell in love with the place and with the music.
And really, the bands today, you don't have to be Scottish or Irish. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of names.
All
the worldwide names are all playing bagpipes and drums today.
The music is so traditional. When you hear it, I mean, a lot of it is folk tales. A lot of it is really just sort of authentic indigenous music that was created long times ago. Is there a contemporary movement when it comes to Scottish music, to pipe music?
I would say, going back in history, you're right. It's called the Old Pibroch, which was handed down via voice and singing. The tune wasn't written on the music. And then there came the military, the Scottish military.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of the music influence. And today it's all modern tunes, modern music, hornpipes, jigs, reels, all the modern music that you really get your foot tapping. It's very good.
Yeah, for only 9 notes on the chanter, there's thousands and thousands of tunes. Some, like Jim said, are 400 or 500 or more years old, and others, they're still being composed. Modern composers, they're doing all kind of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
it's a growing thing.
We got you for one more song. So yep. What are we going to hear? One last bagpipe song.
Well, you have to hear Scotland the Brave. That's the one that everybody associates with the bagpipe and pipe bands. And
all right, Scotland the Brave.
While Scott's getting ready, you can get more information about the games next weekend at ScottishFestivalChicago.org.
You can get all the info there. The Scottish Festival and Highland Games in Itasca coming up next Friday and Saturday. This, of course, Jimmy Sim was here, as well as Piper Scott McCauley. Scott, take it away, bud. There you go. Scott McCauley. Give it up for Scott on the bagpipes. Jim's here as well. The Highland Games next weekend in Itasca. All right, coming up, we got more music for you, including some alt country, some dream pop, and Chicago soul. All that coming up here on Extension 720, so stay with us.
Back to the only music festival that your suede loafers won't get destroyed at, the Extension 720 Chicago Music Showcase.
Are you wearing suede loafers to music festivals in the summer, Jen?
No, but I told you earlier, like, I wore the wrong shoes for this today. I've got suede sneakers on.
You did. You came in the studio and said, I would have dressed the part if I knew this was happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, all right.
You got to wear, like, thick combat boots because there's so much mud from all the trampling.
And I would just wear ironic 80s basketball jerseys.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. That's all. That seems like what every kid does when they go to a music festival.
It's like
Elijah Wan.
Yeah, your dad was young when this person was playing.
Exactly. A little bit of sports news. Craig Kimbrell, the free agent closer, reliever from the Boston Red Sox World Series run, and of course the Atlanta Braves before that, he has signed with the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs get the all-star reliever for what looks like a deal that is through 2021. So I think it's 2.5 years, almost a 3-year deal. But Craig Kimbrell was one of the sought-after free agents in the offseason that did not sign at all until he got his asking price. And there was worry he was going to sit out the entire year. But instead, he signs with the Cubs for a stretch run. What a day for the Chicago Cubs. Let's just hope he's not the second coming of Goose Gossage. If you remember those days, Goose came to the Cubs, everyone got excited.
I have no idea who that is.
Didn't turn out. Oh, you'd love Goose Gossage.
You know, sports ball's not my forte.
Sports ball.
Either a sports puck.
Well, there you go.
I know a little bit about every, but
there
not a lot about
That's all you
anything.
Need. Yeah. A little jack of all trades, master of none.
Little of it.
Well, we've got a lot coming up here in the next hour. We're going to do some alt country. We've got some soul. But right now, we've got some dream pop. This is rock and roll, a band from Chicago named Fovely. They've got a new EP, which is out now. Dream pop, kind of the sister to all sorts of kind of music, shoegaze music and the noise bands of the 90s. Fovley is in studio. They're in the performance studio. They're ready to go. Here they are with the song Good News. Take it away.
Trying to fix this. I don't want to be your witness. Put on your face and get dressed. I am going to make you trying to fix this. I don't want to be your witness. Put on your face and get dressed. I am going to make you
in the performance studio with the song Good News. Their new EP, What the Living Do, is out now. They are touring the country right now, Chicago dream pop band, and we'll talk about not only the music and the style which they bring to the forefront here in Chicago, but also the instruments. Very interesting instruments and some of the arrangements that we're hearing in Fovley, who are in our performance studio. We'll take a quick break, come back, we'll get an interview with them and some more music. Fovley, an Extension 720 Chicago Music Showcase. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We are in the midst of our Chicago Music Showcase, our indoor radio street music festival, which we've been doing all show. We heard a little blues, some bluegrass, some bagpipes, and right now some shoegazing dream pop, the sounds of Chicago's Fovley. Fovley is led by singer-songwriter Sophie Brochu and features Dale Price, Scott Cortez, Dave Piscotty, and Chase Wall. According to Sophie herself, her music is born out of rejection. She was an aspiring novelist who unsuccessfully submitted to publishers, but their loss, not Sophie's, because she turned to music, a familiar creative outlet, to channel her art. The result was a 2017 EP, Watch Me Overcomplicate This, which was loved by the Chicago music scene. Flash forward to this month, and Sophie and her band Fovley are releasing the new EP, This Is What the Living Do, which is put out by the local record label Diversion. They're in studio with me tonight, and it's great to have you guys. Sophie, why don't we start with you? How does this EP, the work that you're doing here, how does it differ from the work that came out in 2017?
This is much more of a band effort, I would say. When I was writing Watch Me Overcomplicate This, it was me sitting in my apartment just messing around and not... I just didn't think anybody would ever hear it, and not to say that many people have heard it, but it was just figuring out what I'm even going for. I didn't really have any goals because... Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. So with this EP, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I did not want to do. And I had these guys with me, which made all the difference.
Let me follow up on that. What did you not want to do? What was it that you were aware of when you were putting this music together?
I knew that I wanted it to be a band effort. I knew that I wanted to work on arrangement with other with these people. I had played with some other musicians before, so I knew that this was the right fit for me. And I knew that I wanted to, in a sense, stop listening to what some people were giving me advice on. Like, I knew that I wanted it to be quieter and softer and sound like I imagine Foveli should have sounded like from the beginning.
I'm going to bring the guys in here. One of the things, listening to the music, Scott, the arrangements are really powerful. And we were remarking as we were listening, Pete and I, to how there really seems to be an effort to blend what you guys do with the music and Sophie's voice. And that's almost, that has to happen when you're talking about dream pop. You can have it where you have the wrong kind of vocalist that matches up with that kind of music. But how do you guys see it? I mean, are you working your arrangements and working the sound that you're putting out around the vocals of Sophie?
I mean, definitely. Like, with this sort of music, the lyrics are the most important thing. So if they get buried under guitar solos and stupid noises, it's not going to work. So everything we do is just to kind of like elevate that voice.
Or vocals, at least. The lyrics, not so much, but...
Definitely the lyrics.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. Only the lyrics.
Do you have to consciously do this as musicians? Because a lot of times it's about play your stuff and you guys get together and put out the music. But in this case, there really is this style of music. It is in support, but it also has to be quiet and loud at the same time.
Yeah, I think it can be instinctive. Like for me as an arranger and a bassist, I sort of try to riff off of the vocals, if that makes sense. So maybe covering a couple notes from the melody and the bass line just to sort of reinforce it, and also doing my best to stay out of the way.
Let's talk about, what do you call the instrument? Is it a bow? What do you call the instruments you're playing?
I call it a ghost guitar.
A ghost guitar. So explain it to us, because it's amazing to see live.
Well, I've been doing stuff for a long time. And one of those things is bowing like one of my guitars, and I was like, yeah, this doesn't work. So I just called some guy and had him make me a neck, and then he put ghost pickups on it. So the ghost pickups are just the actual where the strings hit at the bridge. They're bridge pickups, and they're piezo. So I just had him make me that, but he bowed it. I mean, it has like a little arc in it so that you can bow all the strings individually instead of like with the guitar neck, which is flat, which you can't.
What's the sound you're trying to get out of that? Why order that instrument?
Because I'm always trying to get different stuff. When you're dealing with this sort of music, that's what you're doing. You're trying to come up with something different, and I just wasn't able to get certain sounds that I wanted, so it's like, well, I have to keep on exploring different possibilities. So, and you know, I wanted a bowed sound. I wanted something like a nice cello-y violin kind of thing.
When we were in the studio, Scott did not have this instrument at the time, so he had his guitar, and he basically just picked up this, like, found object that was this, I don't know what it was. We started calling it the machete, because it looked like a machete.
It's the metal rod that holds up old tube amps. You can push them, and they have, like, these little rods on the side.
All right, yeah.
So one was just laying around, so I just picked it up.
So that's what is actually on the EP.
It sounds like a train.
It sounds great.
Crashing.
It's really dissonant.
It's really pretty. It just sounds like a train crashing.
And there's
works.
Something
in tune, though, in tune.
With the band, with the EP, and listening to you guys live, there is something special about trying to create different sounds. It's not just about the arrangement. It's not just about the vocals. I mean, those are obviously big parts of it. But it does feel like, and that's where this dream pop shoegaze vibe comes from, that you are experimenting with the music and the instruments in front of you. How important is doing that kind of thing to Foveli and why you guys are all together?
That's a good question.
No, it's the whole point. I mean, I don't want to belie my age, but I've been doing this since they started calling it dream pop. I guess it was the whole point. You were trying to go against rock conventions, like, well, let's try to invert this whole thing. Yeah, if you're not working on the sound part of it, the sonic part of it, then I don't know, you're just gonna sound like Dave Matthews. Just try a different genre.
The longer we work on a song too, the more it shapes, and the more we keep wanting to, like, well, why don't we try this, and why don't you do that sound, and let's, I hear this now because we went in this totally different direction. So that shapes over time, the more we keep working with something also, until it just feels like it's done.
But also, quite often, it's not about adding more things, it's quite often peeling things back. Like, a lot of the things we do is we have a lot of parts where you hear like a quieter part, and then there's like a swell, and we like to just kind of make sure that we're not just overwhelming with sound constantly, because then it's just like this big thick line on the waveform. So we're trying to find where there's like dynamics and ways you can like bring interest to the user's ear as well.
You know, obviously, modern day recording in any form has evolved to where you can do all sorts of things to layer and layer and keep going. When you guys are putting this on stage live, this kind of music that really relies not only on strong vocals but also the experimental sound behind it, is it more difficult to do live when you're trying to execute it in the moment as opposed to being in studio?
Yeah, it takes more people.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I mean, that's why.
People.
Yeah, Mike and Scott, especially, I feel like bring some of the magic of the studio back onto the stage.
Yeah, I think at its core, I always wanted to be able to play the songs by myself and have them be good enough on guitar and vocals. I'm starting to wonder if that's something I want to do anymore. We toured as a four-piece recently, and that works too, but then when Scott comes in and Mike comes in with these sounds that just expand and fill out the room, it just is so much cooler. It's mm-hmm. more fun to play.
Fun.
For you, how have you evolved as a lyricist? Early stuff and reading some of the press that came out from the last EP that you put out really sort of was born of rejection. That was the whole Brits piece in Tribune. But this concept of you continue to bring poetic and dark lyrics to the new stuff. But how have you evolved as a lyricist?
You know, I actually always prioritize the sound and the melody over the lyrics. So the lyrics are always second hand for me. I want to be able to convey emotions that I can't quite put into words, and that's why it was very natural for me to, you know, when I was focusing on writing fiction specifically, I guess with music, it's just what I wanted to capture was things that I couldn't put into words. Mm-hmm. So I don't care so much over the lyrics. I mean, I think a song will work even if you're singing no lyrics.
Maybe it's the tone. Maybe it's about the tone. Like listening to some of the stuff, and the one you can't play on the air, the TV one. I forgot the name of the
yeah.
song, but
fall asleep
but
to TV.
Yeah, the tone. You're right. It may not be necessarily about every lyric and mm-hmm. and how they kind of match up, but the tone is dark, and the tone is one that's maybe comes from more of an emotional place than people are used to.
Yeah. So sometimes the lyrics won't make the most sense necessarily, but you can still get the basic idea of what it is and maybe what it means or what it means to you as a listener. But often when I'm writing, I'm just singing a melody and then I will let it evolve into the words that come naturally. Mm-hmm. For me, it's much more of a subconscious thing. I try not to think about it. If you overthink it, I don't want to force in lyrics that don't quite work. When I've tried to write lyrics first, I just don't like it. It doesn't seem as genuine. And that, at its core, is the thing that I care about most.
There are a lot of genres of music that are succeeding in Chicago, and you can to see them take the lead when it comes to the national scene of DIY or indie rock in this country. Where does dream pop fit? Does Chicago have a strong dream pop scene? Is it something that the country looks at and says, oh, Chicago produces that?
Yeah, we have some locals, but there's also, like, the, you know, Pacific Northwest has, like, Portland and Seattle. They have a lot of bands that would kind of fit with us.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of like these like weird little pockets all over. It's not really one specific yeah. scene or city.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm dating myself as well, and I feel like this shows my ignorance to the music. I think of bands like Catherine Wheel. That was a band in the 90s shoegaze. That was a band that came out of England. So I always assumed
yeah, that's
the music.
Shoegaze.
Yeah, that's shoegaze.
Proper shoegaze.
That's the kind of bands that were coming out, and they kind of cornered the market on that for a little while before they kind of went away, I guess.
Well, grunge
yes,
happened.
Grunge happened.
I guess I don't think as much about genre, though. I mean, it's like, how do we make a beautiful song that is the most genuine, authentic, natural?
There's
too
many genres.
Yeah.
And there's too many subcategories of genres and sub-subcategories of genres. It's annoying. Let's just play songs.
You can find what you're listening to, but probably my biggest influence is not dream pop or shoegaze at all.
No, yeah, that's not.
Well, for you, being a singer-songwriter here in Chicago, is Chicago a great place to make music?
I think so. If it was not, I would be somewhere else. And I would probably like to be somewhere else where it's a little bit nicer year-round. But it keeps me here because there's a great scene and these guys are here. We talk about moving south sometimes. I'm from the south and it's calling my name, but they all have to move with me. So
usually we'll get that request for we got to move out west. You know,
yeah.
to Los mm-hmm. Angeles, or, hey, we're moving to New York. You don't get too many people like, we're all moving to the South.
Yeah, we're all going to Nashville.
Yeah, we don't really like leather jackets all that much in this band, so the West isn't good for us.
Well, I'll ask you guys, too. Scott, do you like being a musician in the Chicago music scene?
Yeah, there's a lot of different types of things going on in Chicago. I mean, the DIY scene, everybody's really supportive regardless of what sort of music you do. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just like trying to help each other out and push people, have great shows and things like that.
The band Fovely in studio tonight. Their new EP is out now. They are back in the performance studio. They got one more song, so let's get to it right now. Here is the dream pop sounds of Fovely and the title track from their EP, What the Living Do.
Yesterday's sky wouldn't break. Put the flowers in a
by the band Fovely from Chicago. That's off their new EP. You can find all of this stuff at WGNradio.com. We recorded a couple of great songs with Fovely. You can check out all of that on WGNradio.com. Coming up, Chicago Soul on Extension 720. Stay with us.
Back to the only Chicago music festival that cost you as much as this AM radio station did, the Extension 720 Chicago Music Showcase.
There you go. Thank you, Jen. It's Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman here as we continue with the Chicago Music Showcase. Well, you can't have a music festival in Chicago without soul and soul music. Such great artists have come from this town. Think Sam Cooke, Chaka Khan, Curtis Mayfield, who just celebrated a birthday this week. So tonight's soul music. And who better to play for us than a band that's bringing back Shy Soul with a review this Saturday at Lincoln Hall, Chicago Soul Spectacular. We'll talk with some of the band members coming up about the project and the show. But first, let's hear them perform live in our performance studio. Here they are, Chicago Soul Spectacular, and the song, She's Back.
One, two, three, hey! She's back. She's back. She's back.
Ooh, 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 you bet.
She's back.
Oh, come on.
She's back. All above your body.
Good God, it's a long time coming. I know y'all feel me. We got this winter depression, 'cause we all got that sun obsession. Come on.
Shut up yourself, no need to stress.
That's right. I know you've been laying in that bed every day, sleeping till noon, looking up on Instagram, liking posts yourself, and models, no like you're shopping for a new life in a catalog. Listen, y'all, I know it. So move the big old butt, hey, and listen to the words that we say again.
Shut up yourself, don't be distressed. Move your body, no need to stress. Shut up yourself, don't be distressed. Move your body, no need to stress. Shut up yourself, don't be distressed. Move your body, no need to stress. Shut up yourself. Hey, hey, let's go. Hey, let's get it.
Go Chicago Soul Spectacular in studio. Yes, there you go. They are going to be at Lincoln Hall coming up on Saturday nights for a Shy Soul review. We're going to talk with them about Chicago Soul, what it means to them, and hear some more music here on Extension 720 Chicago Soul Spectacular, kicking it up a notch here in the 9 o'clock hour on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman. Well, this weekend, the Chicago Soul Spectacular presents a new show called Shy is Soul. It's a tribute to Chicago Soul. It's going to be at the Lincoln Hall in Lincoln Park on Saturday night. Here in studio, Billy Bungaroth, Julie Nichols, and Elise Latrice. Elisa Latrice are here from Chicago Soul Spectacular, and we're going to have a conversation about soul music in Chicago. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So excited to be here.
So why don't we start by just the idea of, you know, the Chicago Soul Spectacular. You guys have been putting on shows, but talk about Shy is Soul. Why a show called Shy is Soul?
Well, we think that, you know, there's so much emphasis put on Motown and Stax and the Memphis scene, and we love all that. But, like, Chicago has such a rich soul history. And, honestly, there's not many books on it. There's a Robert Pruder book from the early 90s that's out there. There's just not a ton of information. So if you look at Curtis's influence, Donny Hathaway's influence, Chaka Khan's influence, Sam Cooke and the Soulstirrers started here. Mahalia Jackson was living in Chicago. Like, there is so much soul and gospel. The Staple Singers. I mean, and really where Chicago is incredible is the having that heavy-duty gospel influence.
Can you tell the difference as musicians between a soul artist coming out of Chicago as opposed to Motown or Memphis? Is there a different particular sound that Chicago brings?
I think so, yeah. I mean, especially when you're comparing it, you know, there's like the Memphis horns and the Motown rhythm section and, you know, and of course the different voices that came out of both places.
I think the number one thing is the heavy gospel influence here in Chicago, and also a lot of this stuff is really complicated, you know, because it was gospel changes and jazz changes. Like, yeah. Donny Hathaway uses super complicated voicings.
So complicated.
And Earth, Wind, and Fire is like, the time signatures are wild. Rufus and Chaka is like, the time signatures are wild. So, yeah, Chicago has a really... And then the lesser-known stuff, like, you know, Brunswick and some of the ABC stuff is, like, huge arrangements. Johnny Pate having these, like, enormous orchestrations. So... it's kind of more complex sometimes than, say, like a great Stax Otis Redding cut.
Yeah, it's the sort of music where you're like, ooh, let's play some Earth, Wind, and Fire. This will be just fun and funky. And then you get into it, and it's like, whoa. This is a nightmare. It's so rewarding, though. It's so rewarding to get inside of those changes and to get inside of the music and learn it and be like, man, this is what people were creating. This is right. What people were making.
And that's what we grew up on, too. I think as an artist, being from a generation that probably doesn't really know that type of music unless your parents were playing it for you when you were growing up, mm-hmm. you don't realize how impactful it was until, you know, you're in your adult years and you're learning through singing and through playing it. And I think that's what makes these artists coming from Chicago so special because we grew up with it, and you almost try and emulate it, you know, yeah. in a way, and that's what makes you a better artist because, you know, that's by coincidence, you just came up with it.
That's such a great point, too, because there's going to be neo-soul, there's going to be soul music that you can go to iTunes right now and play, and it'll have remnant. It comes from somewhere, yeah. obviously, and you can hear it, but technology and synths and other things have changed what soul music means. The genre has changed. Mm-hmm. You don't see as many bands, Billy, today going with that gritty sound that came out of the 50s and the 60s when it comes to soul music, particularly here in town.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of a lost art, not to say that all the music that you mentioned, I mean, there's so much great music being made, there's so much great modern music, but I think for us, especially with the Chicago Soul Spectacular brand, whether it's original music or the covers that we've learned, we want to keep that continuum going. We want to be playing, you know, we haul I don't know how large Julie's, you know, Fender Rhodes is, but we haul that to just about every show.
It's quite,
you know,
heavy.
We'd rather, I think, be involved in that sound from before and try to take it further than just come up with something entirely new.
There's something about the connection too, because we can go in and continue to talk about the chord changes and the signature change, you know, all the things that go into the music that makes soul so specific and unique. But a lot of it has to do with the theatricality as well. The bands that we're talking about, Curtis Mayfield or Sam Cooke, they put on a show. It was not just sort of we get up there and hopefully the audience likes what we're doing. There was a lot to that, and that's on display. We're going to see at the Lincoln Hall this weekend.
I love that. That's the type of music and entertainers that I grew up watching as a little girl, like, you know, watching the Isley Brothers, where you're not just standing in one spot, you're putting on a show, you're an entertainer and not just a musician or a singer. Your role is to entertain, and if you're playing music that is moving, then, you know, people want to see that. I think that's what they come to see, especially when it's a Soul Spectacular show. You know that you're not just getting great music and great artists, you're getting a show. We're enjoying it, you're enjoying it, and that's where the magic happens, because, you know, we all just bleed that onto each other, I guess.
Elevating the audience is, like, of supreme importance to us, and connecting with the audience, and it is literally true at every show, you don't really know what's going to happen. You know, we have a set list, we might stick to it, we always surround ourselves with guest artists and musicians who come in who want to be playing in that, you know, arena of, like, let's see what happens. We trust each other, and we want to put on a show that feels really authentic in that way, because it is really authentic in that way. We have so much reverence for this music, and we have so much passion for this music, that it just is like, it could just come out in any sort of way, which is so exciting.
Well, I mean, even right before we started the interview, you guys are going over the patterns and who's going to be wearing what and how it's going to match. And there's a lot of things that people don't think about that go into a review, especially a Chicago Soul review, that is beyond the chords and where people are going to stand and
plug different
in.
Shows are different. And we have a different vision and a different artistic vision for every show that we do. You know, this show for Shy as Soul is going to look very different than our show for Aretha Franklin, which looks very different from our show for Memphis Soul Stew, which is our Memphis Soul review. So this is kind of drawing more from Chaka Khan and some of the wilder colors and patterns and stuff, and just things that feel really more explosive, like Chicago music.
Mm-hmm. The ensemble, when you have a band the size that you have, and how many people will we see on stage on Saturday? More than we have in studio.
16.
16.
Yeah, three horns, three backup singers, an array of various singers and rappers too. Mm-hmm.
The idea of getting everybody on the same color palette seems like it'd be a nightmare. How do you get everybody on the same page musically and then performance-wise? Because I know you both come from Second City, and there's an emphasis put on improvisation, but more about an emphasis put on connecting with the people you're on stage with. Does that play a role when you have a band that's this big?
We have the best of the best, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have people who we are so fortunate to work with who are as deeply passionate about this as we are. So when it comes down to the little details that other people might be bored with or not care about or discard, you know, of color palette and who's going to solo where, and are we going to extend this portion, or are we cool with maybe ending this differently, you know, like, everyone is so on board for that, and that's kind of part of the direction that this band has always been going.
I think in the past what I've learned is collaborate with people who have similar instincts about what you're doing, as opposed to try to, like, tell someone what you're thinking. Oh, okay, Elisa and I and Julie, we think you should be doing this, and John thinks you should do this, and blah, blah, blah. Like, we're just trying to invite people who have the same vision and who have the same, as Julie says, like reverence and excitement about it. So it's not that much telling folks what to do, as more as letting them kind of just be the thing that rides on the wave that we're creating.
I love it.
That's what I've enjoyed most about being a part of this band, is that there's freedom, you know, like I don't like feeling restricted in any way. And after my first show with them, I feel like everything was just effortless and it just clicked, because we have that likeness, that kinship.
Well, the show, looking forward to it. The show is called Shy Is Soul. It's put on by the Chicago Soul Spectacular. It's a tribute to Chicago Soul. It'll be on stage June 8th, that's this Saturday, at the Lincoln Hall, which is 2424 North Lincoln Avenue. In studio tonight, Alisa Latrice, Julie Nichols, Billy Bungaroth. So there's going to be a ton of music, you guys, that you guys will be playing in the show. But, you know, everything from Chaka Khan to Sam Cooke and Curtis Mayfield down the line. But what are we going to hear tonight on Extension 720?
Do you want to do Voodoo Woman?
Yes. Yeah. Can I do some Coco Taylor?
Yeah.
They call me the Voodoo Woman, and I know the reason why. Lord, if I raise my hand, the sky begin to cry. They call me the Voodoo Woman. I look through water, it's by dry land. They call me the Voodoo Woman. I look through water, it's by dry land. And I tell all you men, your woman got another man. Rabbit food in my pocket, a toad frog in my shoe, crawfish on my shoulder, get some dead at you. I got dust from a rattlesnake, a black spider bone. If that door, baby, you better leave it all alone. They call me the Voodoo Woman, and I know why. Lord, if I raise my hand, you know the sky begin to cry. Play it for me, Billy. Frog in my shoe, crawfish on my shoulder, looking dead at you. I got dust from a rattlesnake, black spider bone. If that don't do it, baby, you better leave it all alone. They call me the Voodoo, and if I raise my hand, you know the sky is gonna cry.
Chicago Soul Spectacular. Alisa Latrice on the vocals right there. Shy Soul, the show at Lincoln Hall, coming up this Saturday. Chicago Soul Spectacular. You can find them online everywhere. Great band. Thank you so much for being in studio tonight. All right, coming up, we continue. We're in the stretch run of our awesome Chicago Music Showcase, our street festival in studio, high atop the mouth of the Chicago River here on Extension 720. State champion, a little alt-country to finish it up. Coming up after the news. Stay with us. It is Extension 720, and our Chicago Music Showcase continues. It rolls on here on 720 WGN. I believe we're on our final band tonight, and let's get right to it. Everybody, put your hands together for the alt-country Americana sounds of State Champion. Thank you.
TV when the feeling awoke. I remember you in laughter, death preference flapping in a bicycle spoke. I remember you in laughter, sincerity, our final joke. Another screwball comedy afterlife. Another enemy turns to smoke. Data mapping assistant, a tripper au pair. Spent a year in a lab coat county on the paid end of the dare. Making receipt of all the rain checks and misfortunes that you should bear. In case the world should ever audit you. What is and is not fair. We used to talk in an accent, just feel like we were part of a team. Walking halos around the Choctaw Mounds, proud and obscene. Mississippi One, Mississippi Two, Mississippi streams roll past the garbage bags. The berries blue and black, and canisters of aerosol cream. And a hundo for patrolling my dock. Did a year with a wrist slap buddy just for trying to lock. Art house letters to the editor coming back to me by the box. But the porno sculptor's broken heart is but a product of unmagical thoughts. Mondrian primaries pulsing from a trap house grid. I pull a page from the extermination calendar, leave a note for the Terminex kid. Oh, Mississippi One, Mississippi Two, miss, you're lucky you got away. We did. Death preferences. Firing loose. They're singing death preferences. Death preferences. Saturday night, it's Sunday morning, and everybody's smoking now and blue. Dressed and left so fast that I think my shadow might have been confused for a minute. To be the cop rock band criticized by the art house superintendent. To see your room for the first time. To see a picture of me in it. And all my excuses for staying so long. They lie faced in a duffel. Grab your partner by his or her hand and do the blood font pharmacy shuffle. Another screwball comedy afterlife. Another enemy smoked in a brotherly scuffle. I still remember you in laughter when the accent comes back just how we left it. No, they say that death prefers your baby when you least expect it. The
choirs admire, but the maestro gets also disrespected. Not a dry scene in the house to be found. Not a dollar off domestic death preferences. Too tired to pour rain, swinging death preferences. Ooh, death preferences. Saturday night, it's Sunday morning, and everybody's parking at the bank. Oh, Mississippi 1, Mississippi 2, I'ma miss you more than you think.
Song Death Preferences from the indie Americana band State Champion. State Champion started out together in Chicago about 15 years ago. Since that time, the band has spread out all over the Midwest, now some calling Louisville home. And in that time, the band has evolved from a louder alt-country rock band to a softer, more lyrical outfit. And that's evident by their latest release, Send Flowers. That album was on Pitchfork's Best of 2018 list. State Champion is Ryan Davis, Sal Casado, Mikey Poland, Jim Marlowe, and Sabrina Rush. And they're live in studio on Extension 720 tonight. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. This is awesome.
So for you, when I say you're a Louisville-based band, you guys went to college together. You came together here in Chicago. Do you consider yourself a Chicago band?
I definitely did it one time, and it's always been our home away from home. I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. And so Jim is from Louisville, Kentucky, too. And we've all kind of lived there over the years and worked there. And it's been the home base for the band. But we all met when we lived in Chicago and we were going to school here and stuff. So I feel like this is kind of like our satellite home, too.
As we sit here in our studio and you guys look out, as you guys get through Chicago a lot,
yeah.
But do you see the city in front of you as you're spending time here change, as you guys are doing the Division Street Festival and things like that? Do you like to be back in Chicago? Or
yeah, Sabrina was living in Logan Square for a while, and it seemed like every time we'd come back up to like play a show or practice or whatever, the whole neighborhood looked different than the last time I'd seen it 6 months before or right. Something. So.
Well, it's kind of like your music in the way that you guys have evolved over time. And I want to talk about that evolution, because as we hear the music live tonight, there's always been an emphasis on your lyrics and obviously your voice and what you're singing. But over time, at the beginning, a lot of the music was louder. It was mm-hmm. just like amp that stuff up.
Yeah.
And the new stuff, it seems like you're bringing the levels down and letting your voice kind of shine. Talk about the evolution and the mission of the music.
I don't think there was ever like a moment where we decided that we should be a loud band or a quiet band or anything. I think just the nature of us like all growing up, you know, being into punk music and going to basement shows and booking DIY tours, and you end up playing a lot of kind of bills like that, and you end up turning your amps loud to be heard, and then you kind of have fun being like a loud rock band. But then it seemed kind of like slowly over time it was more and more difficult to make the songs deliver in a way that, you know, all the bits and pieces were digestible. So we kind of wanted to turn it down a little bit on this one so that the stories and the words kind of came through a little bit better in the instrumentation.
The music on this album, what it struck me is it's very patient. There just seems to be a lot of, and that's what I mean about the evolution, like it seems like more thought into how long, you know, you're holding some of the lyrics, but how long some of the violin is, all the kind of mix is much more patient. Is that by design?
I think that was a conscious effort. I mean, I can let these guys speak to some of that, but I know just the way we arranged this record was different than any of the other ones, and that we all got together in a house and kind of like basically like put the songs together and then went straight into the studio and recorded them, versus all of our other records where we'd played the songs a bunch of times like live and kind of turned them more into rock songs, whereas this one was really like rehearsed just to be a record. You know?
Do you guys see it that way?
Yeah, none of us live in the same city, so you know, we get together to rehearse and kind of practice and write the songs on tour sometimes. And as Ryan was mentioning about, like, you know, the nature of shows and amps just getting turned up, the music sort of turned into that. So this was definitely more of a, you know, it was written in a space.
Let's talk about some of the lyrics and your style. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a great quote somewhere saying you guys are kind of like the alt country math rock.
Okay. I've never heard anybody say that, but it kind of makes sense.
Interesting idea of, and I think that comes from the style in which you write.
Yeah.
You are a lyricist, and as you listen to some of the music we hear tonight, you're almost like a walking thesaurus in the way you approach. How do you approach writing music?
The way I usually write music is I just have this kind of ongoing, like, either in my phone or in a journal or in my head, just these ongoing kind of images that I get by, you know, just over the years of walking around, driving around, thinking of things, reading things, overhearing things, and I kind of like catalog them all, and then I go back later and spend a lot of really like focused energy just sitting down and kind of like pulling bits and pieces out of it and making this like quilt of imagery and try to like, I think some people think it's probably like random or something, but it's very like composed. It's just like trying to piece stories together out of different ingredients.
That's a great way to think about it. It almost feels random because of the stances, the way that the stanzas and the way that it kind of plays out in the music.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's all connected, and you are telling a story.
Yeah, yeah. It's an important, that's the big part of the process. Like, I mean, it takes, like, really this record kind of came together pretty quickly. It came together in what felt like a couple weeks, but that was after, like, years of, like, getting all the DNA for the record first, and then you sit down and kind of flush it out in a few weeks, and it's like, oh, wow, all of a sudden we have seven new songs.
You know? As you guys, as you talked about, Sabrina, this idea that, you know, you all live in different spaces now, and you got to come together and either write on tour, you're going to write in a house and do it real quick. Do you envision that being the future and of how you guys write and how you guys produce? And is that a good thing? I mean, is it sort of everyone comes in and is fresh and has that moment where you, as opposed to living together all in one one space?
I think we're all pretty used to it by now. So it's a pretty natural feeling to do that way.
Yeah, I don't see us probably ever all living in the same place, so this is just kind of how it's always had to work. But, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I think this was a really productive way of handling this record, and it was a success in my mind.
It's turned into this type of thing where, like, we dedicate, like, weeks at a time to being in the band, as opposed to, like, an hour after work on Thursdays or, like, Saturday afternoon, we get the space. So it's like we all kind of designate larger chunks of our time to just focus on it.
And you like that. That's a great style, yeah.
And then Jim, he's like always kind of been, you know, a helping auxiliary member of the band, but this is the first time he's done like a full tour playing in the group. But he, like, our last record before this one, Fantasy Air, he recorded that and kind of helped play on that one and played some songs on this one too. So
you talked about your lyrics. As this music, and tonight this the whole extension 720 that we're doing is really themed about live music and instruments and different music. And I think about you guys fitting in because you obviously are changing as a band in a good way, in the way that you are being more patient and direct with your music and slowing it down and thinking about the arrangements. How important is it to be a band with the kind of lyrics that you have? Meaning, you know, we don't rarely think of the instrument of the voice, but you obviously are going one step further talking, and not just about how you sing, but how you write and the words that come out.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the voice, we've all kind of decided to sort of like what needs to be prioritized in a lot of the songs, but I also, like, I don't want to just sit there with an acoustic guitar, like, yelling stories at people. I think the arrangements can be a really, like, constructive way of getting, you know, making, like, music out of it. You know, I'm like, we're making music. We're not just, not, like, writing a book or something. So, you know, it's, I think maybe of all the records, this is the one where the lyrics and the stories were delivered most effectively, maybe. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I can't be the one to judge that.
Well, the band is state champion. They're in our studio tonight here in Extension 720. The latest release is Send Flowers. It was a great album that, check it out. It was on Pitchfork's Best Of list for 2018. State champions Ryan Davis, Sal Casado, Mikey Poland, Jim Marlowe, and Sabrina Rush. What are we going to hear? What's the next song that we're going to hear here?
The song called Lifetime Sentence, also off of Sunflowers.
All right, state champion. Thanks, guys.
Academics with delirious souls. Jeff Foxworthy in a serious role. We're making resumes out of things we'd really rather not screw with. Things a ceiling fan ain't had nothing to do with. Now the morning dawn is dripping in. Morning notes and song again. Oh, how could I have been so irresponsible with my time? Gossip stops at the top of the hill. Wage strike at the rumor mill. You ask me straight if I could love you. And I say that I'll try. Dawn is turning all the doves now. And their song sounds like a cover of mine. But it takes a long time, babe, just to fit it in the light of day. There's a styrofoam big gold waiting on a gravestone. Say it to me kindly. Of a whorehouse clock. When you learn that the case was a courthouse flop, and the jury's erased with the swing of a wandering ages in a cosmic mirror. It all seems like a lifetime since ago.
Studio. The latest release is Send Flowers. Their album was put on Pitchfork's Best of 2018. Thanks to them for coming through. The Louisville-based band now also have some ties to Chicago as well. That's our last act for the Chicago Music Showcase, Extension 720's first annual, semi-annual, biannual, weekly, monthly. A lot of great music tonight. Everything from, geez, think about when we started, Pete. Blues music. In the first hour, we had the Latin grass, which is the bluegrass from Argentina. Bagpipes in the 8 o'clock hour. Dream pop. 8:30, some soul music at 9 o'clock to finish up with some Americana right here on Extension 720. That's going to do it. Patty Vasquez coming up next here on 720 WGN. That's going to do it tonight for Extension 720 and our Chicago Music Showcase. Thanks to Bob Ferguson. You know, he engineered all the work tonight, and he doesn't get enough credit for the work that he does. A tremendous achievement, and there's a lot of stuff. Some of those bands, I'm talking 8-piece, 9-piece, 10-piece, and he's a professional and continues to amaze us from our days at Studio 435 on the download. So, and thanks to you, Pete, as well, for putting this together, editing and booking and all the kind of stuff that you do for the program. Patty Vasquez up next. Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. Good. I'm excited. We have Steve and Johnny coming in.
Oh, that's great.
And our friend John Sobel from Max and Benny's, who was on my very first show here at WGN Radio. So he's brought some food to celebrate my 5-year anniversary that I just...
So this is your 5-year anniversary?
Somewhere in the last month. It was,
congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you very much.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
But it was actually 6 years ago that he was on, because I used to be on just Sundays. Mm-hmm. And he brought food then, and we came
bringing
to celebrate.
Food now.
Yeah,
and so. Good for they're still riding strong. So
Steve and Johnny, they're
there.
I'm always like, oh my god, I should just give them back their shot. I'm just holding this for you guys, so stay tuned and
always
hang
a treat
out with
to
us.
Have them. Yeah,
have a great night.
Have a great
Jinx,
show.
You owe me a Coke.